Hi folks, my name is Dave Greenberg, and you might know me from attending Civi CRM or Drupal for Nonprofits events, or maybe you hang out in the Civi CRM IRC channel. This is episode 24 of the Modules Unraveled podcast.
Welcome to the Modules Unraveled podcast, where the Drupal community speaks, and now your host.
Once in kindergarten, his mom found a pocket full of worms when doing the laundry.
Brian Lewis.
Welcome to the Modules Unraveled podcast. My name is Brian Lewis, and today I have with me Dave Greenberg. Dave is a co-founder of the Civi CRM project and has been an active member of the core team for the past 7 years. He has experience developing large software systems for the electronic commerce and banking industries. And prior to getting into the technology field, he worked in the community mental health system as a psychiatric social worker. Today, we're going to be talking about Civi CRM and how it can be used with Drupal. So, Dave, what's going on?
Well, Civi is a fairly young but rapidly growing project. We are certainly a lot smaller than Drupal. We service the nonprofit and civic sector, so our target audience is not the entire world, but a much smaller subset. But we have been working at this and trying to build and improve the platform and listen to our user base for 7 years, and we're pretty happy with how things are going. We've put out about 18 releases since we started 7 years ago, and the software has been downloaded more than 500,000 times. And we've got a really thriving community, both in terms of forums. We have 2 annual conferences that are well attended, meetups in about 25 different cities, and folks are active in quite a few countries beyond the United States. Even though we started in the U.S., we always intended this to be a product or a solution that could be used globally. And right now, Civi's been translated into 20 different languages and has active communities in that many countries at least.
Okay, well, before we jump full in into Civi CRM, do you want to give us a little background about you and kind of where you're from?
Sure. Well, I live in San Francisco, which I love. I'm glad to be able to live here. I, as you mentioned, was initially in the social services arena and still have a lot of passion in my heart kind of in that area and with the folks who work in the civic sector and spend their lives trying to make this planet a better place for everybody. I got involved in technology actually through a job in a bank, and that was quite a few years ago. And as you mentioned, originally worked a lot in electronic commerce software. But about 10 years ago, I had an opportunity to bring together my interest in technology and my passion for the social sector by starting to work at Groundspring, which was an early software as a service provider for online donation processing. There kind of got involved in and got a chance to see what was working and what was not working so well in terms of software solutions for nonprofits. And also at the same time started to get very interested in open source software and what that meant. Those two things came together when I had an opportunity to join Don Lobo in starting off this crazy Civi CRM project that we started 7 years ago. And we felt really strongly that there was a synergy between the values of a lot of folks in the nonprofit sector and open source software, and that at that point, all the solutions available for nonprofits To advance their mission from a technology point of view were not open source. So we felt like there was a big gap and something that we wanted to jump into and try to build something. And we had the good luck of hooking up with some folks who had been working on Howard Dean's campaign and using Drupal as a tool in that campaign. And they pulled together an organization called Civic Space Labs, and they were very passionate about Drupal. And so we talked to them a long time and came to the conclusion that there would be an opportunity to pull together a solution that used Drupal as the content management piece and the thing that we were going to build as a CRM. Part of the big issue that we saw was that there are a lot of tools out there. Not only weren't they open source, but they were very siloed. So nonprofits would have maybe a mailing list, and then they would have a spreadsheet here with some donors and another spreadsheet with volunteers and another spreadsheet for members and or maybe an access database, and all the information was very separate, and they didn't have one place to sort of get a big picture view of any particular constituent, colleague, or partner. And so we knew that a lot of commercial entities were solving that kind of problem with CRMs, whose point is really to understand an entire relationship and the history of that relationship, and therefore connect and serve customers in that case better, and in the case of nonprofits, be able to connect and activate, and then for clients also serve them. So not only were we looking to do something that was open source, but something that would provide sort of a big picture view of everybody that the nonprofit interacted with, both people and organizations.
Okay. So before we go any further, I thought maybe we should take a minute just to define a CRM in general and what CRMs do before we talk about Civi CRM.
Okay, cool. So CRMs, the concept started in the Salesforce automation space with folks like Siebel and later on Salesforce. And the idea in that case was that folks who were interacting with prospective customers and customers needed to have a place where they could see everything about that customer that anybody in the organization might know, and see a history of meetings and phone calls and other kinds of communications, a place to keep consolidated notes, and a place to track actual transactions once the person is acquired as a customer. And so CRMs were developed to provide that solution for the corporate and commercial space. When we decided to start with Civi CRM, we slightly changed the meaning of the acronym from customer relationship management to constituent relationship management, since nonprofits don't necessarily think of the people that they interact with as customers. We wanted to take that concept but change the semantics as well as introduce workflows that were more familiar to nonprofits. So rather than making a sale, you actually are looking often to sign up somebody as a member or get a contribution or acquire a volunteer. Or provide, let's say, case services for a client, all those different kinds of things that you might want to do. Mm-hmm. If you're an advocacy organization, you might be dealing with things like engaging people in some kind of action, like signing a petition or running a house meeting, et cetera. So the concept of looking at customers, and in this case, constituents, and having a place to where you can know everything about them, is the same, but the workflows and the semantics that we introduced in Civi CRM were different than the traditional corporate CRMs.
Okay. So I've seen you guys at DrupalCon, and I didn't really have any idea what you did, but so that's basically what you're trying to do with Drupal is integrate a constituent resource manager with Drupal?
Constituent relationship manager.
Okay.
Yes. And even though initially, you know, when we first met the Civic Space guys, or folks, I should say, they weren't all guys, it was somewhat accidental. And there was a certain convenience in being able to leverage Drupal's page rendering capability and authentication structure, and then to plug our stuff in. But pretty quickly we realized that that was actually a really fortuitous accident, because being able to integrate your CRM with the content management system provides a whole lot of benefits, because you can use the CRM to expose various interfaces that push data right into your CRM, but appear to be and function as part of your larger website. And so there's you know, the online donation portals, membership sign-up portals, mailing list portals, just allowing people in a self-service manner to update their personal information in your CRM database, online petitions, all those things in a CRM, CMS integrated solution become very seamless to the constituent. And that's a huge advantage from our point of view.
Okay, so is Civi CRM a Drupal module? Like I saw that it has a project page, but it also says don't download this. So what's with that?
Right. So we're sort of a bastard child in that way, because even though we started with Drupal, our goals were more focused on the nonprofit sector, wanting to provide broadly solutions for the nonprofit sector without necessarily sticking with a single content management solution. And so when we were approached about a year and a half after we started by folks who work with Joomla about whether we could actually integrate with that content management system, we were very open to that and actually wound up doing that. And subsequently, we've also added integration with WordPress. So just from that point of view, I think, yes, we are technically a module, and when you install Civi CRM, you do it through installing or enabling a module. But in a lot of other ways, we don't behave like any of the other Drupal modules that you're used to. And because we are, because we need to work with more than one CMS, basically the CMS integration piece is a fairly thin wrapper around a core code base that doesn't look much like Drupal code and doesn't. I mean, there's a lot of things that we've actually learned from Drupal and borrowed from Drupal in terms of the way that our core code and architecture is put together. But one of the issues that we've sort of been dealing with along the way and had some successes and some failures is that people who are Drupal programmers, if they try to get into actually hacking on the Civi CRM code, they sometimes get frustrated because it doesn't seem the same.
Right.
So the answer is, are we a Drupal module? Technically, yes, but in some ways not.
Okay, so then what kind of integration does Civi CRM have with Drupal?
So we do heavily use Drupal's hook system in order to be integrate in a number of different ways. The first way is that basically anybody that's using the system will be using Drupal's authentication mechanism unless they're anonymous. And we do expose our public-facing pages. Actually, all pages eventually go through Drupal's page rendering system. So from that point of view, it's integrated. We have a very specific integration between Drupal users and the main Civi CRM object that represents people and organizations in the system, which is our contact object. So basically, anyone who creates a user account, if Civi CRM is installed, there'll automatically be a linked contact record. And that allows us to do shopping cart type convenience things, for instance. So if you're logged in as a Drupal user and you've made a donation in the past, it will automatically bring back your billing address information and other relevant information that the organization wants to either collect or update. Because we know the user, so we know your contact record, those things are linked together and we keep those things synchronized. Other kinds of integration happen more sort of on an as-needed basis. So we folks in our community have built out a Vue CiviServe integration module that allows people to expose selective pieces of CiviServe data through Drupal views. You could expose a list of board of directors. You could expose a list of partner organizations. You can expose a list of events. Most objects right now in the CiviServe database can be exposed through views. So that's a very powerful integration point. Mm-hmm. And then I think you had mentioned recently, or you mentioned in your notes, the web form integration. Mm-hmm. Something that is been really evolving really nicely in the last year and a half, where with the WebForm CiviServe module, you can use the WebForm and WebForm UI tools to build very complicated multi-step forms which retain state and have direct all that data into various objects and fields in CiviServe. So when you set up the form, you basically decide what fields in CiviServe the form fields are connected to. And so those get populated or retrieved if somebody's doing an update with a web form. And that's turned out to be very useful for things like complicated school applications or summer camp applications or volunteer applications, things like that, where there's a lot of data being collected and the web form UI process is pretty elegant for doing that. There's also some integrations that relate roles in Drupal to things like membership, paid membership, for example. So you may want to have certain parts of your Drupal site that are only accessible to people who have paid to be a member under the CiviServe membership management module or mm-hmm. And so this module connects, basically keeps those things in sync. So when I buy a regional membership for $50 for the year, then that syncs me to a certain role that has access to certain portions of the Drupal database. And then I didn't really talk about the permissions so much, but Civi leverages Drupal's authentication and flexible permission and role structure to allow organizations to create roles that have different responsibilities and different access permissions in Civi. So you may have a volunteer role that's able to view contacts but not edit them. You may have a role that deals with events but isn't able to view or manage anything having to do with contributions or monetary interactions. You can set up basically as many roles as you want, and then CiviServe has a pretty lengthy list of very granular permissions that you can assign in whatever way that makes sense for a particular job description.
Hmm. Okay. So these, like the modules, like the WebForm CiviCRM and the things like these views integration modules, is there any chance of those being brought into CiviCRM core?
So probably not into core in that sense, because core is really reserved for the things that are shared between all the different CMSs. Mm-hmm. But basically when folks download CiviCRM, they say, okay, I'm downloading CiviCRM for Drupal 7, for example. Mm-hmm. And when they do that, that package contains the integration modules that we think are core and the ones that we as a core team support. So that includes all the views integration, the organic groups integration, the member and group roles stuff. Those all come when you download the tarball for Drupal 7 CiviCRM. So in that sense, they are part of our core distribution, but mm-hmm. they're technically in the core database.
Right. Okay. That makes sense. You mentioned something about calendar integration. How does that work?
So with the calendar module and views, you can create, you can include Civi CRM events in a Drupal calendar that may include other things as well. And then it'll just link to the event information details page and people can register from that. We didn't really get into the sort of specifics of some of the Civi CRM components, as we call them, but there's a pretty full-featured events component that allows you to create any number of events and then support both back office and online registration for paid events, free events. You can create pretty complex shopping carts for the event where people sign up for after parties or various levels of attendance. And those are, you know, people are using it for seminars, conferences, meetups, a number of different theater companies and performing arts companies use it for ticket sales. Hmm. It's got moderated event registration. It's got automated waiting list management, a bunch of other things like that. But relevant to the question you asked, the events are something that you probably want to have on a general calendar on your website if you're using the calendar, and so that's something that you can do with the Views integration module plus the calendar module.
Okay, does that just work with the calendar module, or does it work with any module that provides calendar, like the full calendar module?
Pretty sure any module that includes. I think the full calendar module should work with, because it's basically using, I think it's setting up views for the event, right. So they can do that.
Okay. I didn't know if it was something like specific to that module or.
No.
Okay, cool. And then how extensible is Civi CRM? Like what approaches are available for extending and customizing it?
So that's something that we've been working hard on the last couple of 3 years, and we've definitely taken some clues from the Drupal architecture. Probably about 4 years ago, we started introducing our own hook system, which is modeled on the Drupal hook system, and basically there's 30 or 40 hooks in the system that allow folks to intervene in Civi CRM standard processing and workflows. So there's pre-processing and post-processing hooks that are generic or specific to forms, and there's access control hooks. There's just a whole variety of hooks that allow folks to both modify what's shown up on various pages, to modify the contents of forms and form fields, to modify what happens after somebody submits a form. And basically, folks use those hooks by creating an additional module, which then functions like any other Drupal module, but not only is looking for Drupal hooks, is listening for Civi CRM hooks. Hmm. So that's one of the primary mechanisms that we've put in place, and then we actually extended that in a more generic way. So folks, it's not as elegant, but folks using Drupal Joomla can also take advantage of this hook system.
Right.
So okay. We passed the level on.
Yeah.
And then there's we have a very comprehensive API that allows folks to access objects, both, you know, basically a CRUD API for all the objects in the system, and you can access that API through another Drupal module using PHP or through REST mechanisms. You can access the API. So that's a way that a lot of folks use to integrate Civi CRM with other third-party applications. And also, people can use the API internally to actually add things to a page. They might make an API call to get some additional data on a particular page or form that isn't normally there. And there's also the ability to create custom trees or directories that have your own version of a particular template file or a particular PHP file, so that you can maintain that sort of in parallel with the code base. That's probably the, at this point, that's the least recommended. We tend to want people to use either the hooks or the API rather than creating their own version of a core file, because once you do that, then you've got more upgrade headaches to deal with.
Right.
I think those are the main. Oh, we've also, there's also some mechanisms where there's some conventions so that if you create a template file with a particular name that might, for instance, add some JavaScript behaviors to a form, you can just sort of add that into your directory structure and Civi will pick that up. And that's a nice way to add some other tricks that you need for a form to behave particularly differently. Mm.
Okay, so I've been told that Civi CRM is good for not-for-profits. So how exactly can they use Civi CRM?
We've talked about some of them, but some of the primary use cases are fundraising, event management, membership programs, mail blasting, case management for clients, for client work, surveys and petitions and grant making. So those are all different components. Some of them have some connections to each other. And then the sort of core piece, which is the database of constituents. And we have this activity concept where basically any transaction that's occurred that Civi knows about with a particular constituent is kept in sort of a big list so that, for instance, a development director can look at that list and get a sense of how a person's engagement with the organization has been evolving and what interactions may have affected that. So they can look at Brian Lewis's contact record and see, well, initially Brian got a mail blast about 6 months ago. He was on that mailing list, and a couple of days later, he made a contribution, and then we did an outreach to recent contributors about coming to a particular event, and he came to the event, and now he's signed up to be a volunteer, and you can sort of see that ladder of engagement, as folks call it, but it's sort of in one stop by looking at the activities tab on Brian Lewis's record.
Right. Okay.
We've talked a little bit, and from the fundraising point of view, there is the ability to create as many online contribution portals as needed with plugins for a bunch of different payment processors and support for pledges and recurring contributions. There's a ability to allow your more active constituents to create their own fundraising portals. So basically peer-to-peer fundraising tools are part of the system. And then some organizations use the case management component to actually manage large donors and significant donors. So they'll have a particular workflow that they've designed to sort of keep an important person engaged and giving over the years.
Right.
And then there's about 50 different pre-designed reports that come with the system that are in support of these various components. So you can report on event participation and money raised by events. You can report on, there's a lot of reports around fundraising, so you can do a report about everybody who gave last year and didn't give this year, for example. You can have a top donors report. And then there's a dashboard capability where you can have your homepage in Civi CRM once you log in, if you have permissions for that. Basically, you can pull in these various reports in either tabular or graphical mode onto the dashboard, so you can sort of keep an eye on, well, how are signups going for our fundraiser event next month, and what's our donations year-to-date looking like, or month-to-date. You can put those things on a dashboard. And again, the fact that you can use the permissioning model, which Drupal helps us with, to assign these various job roles means that folks who have different different functions within a nonprofit are able to easily focus on what they need to do and not be cluttered up with stuff that they're not supposed to do or don't care about. One other important thing is that a lot of nonprofits had been using desktop tools for a lot of these functionalities. Mm-hmm. And increasingly, nonprofits are becoming distributed organizations where they have folks who work for the organization in lots of different locations or work out of their house. And so having a web-based tool where, you know, it really doesn't matter where you are, you can get your job done has been really helpful for a lot of nonprofits. And then just moving to a real database has been super powerful. You know, a lot of nonprofits have been in situations where they had a development director with a Rolodex or their little Excel spreadsheet, and then maybe they leave. And sometimes the knowledge gets transferred properly, sometimes it doesn't. But there's a lot of risk in those situations of losing important organizational knowledge. And, mm-hmm. and having a big shared database like this tends to mitigate that risk.
That actually reminds me of a question somebody had recently for me. They were concerned about going to an online, you know, customer resource manager, whatever, relationship manager, because of security versus having it just on their computer where they have control about it. What would you say to that?
Well, I think security is an important concern for anybody who's keeping sensitive data about other people. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And desktop systems have their own security issues. Certainly, if your computer is not locked down, then that's kind of silly. And if your computer is locked down and people do unthoughtful things, like having their password sitting on a sticky on their monitor. So I think there are desktop security issues, but I think it's important to take online security issues very seriously. And, you know, Civi's, as an open source solution, we feel like we've got a very active community who's helping us keep an eye on potential security vulnerabilities. We actually just did a security release because some new vulnerabilities were brought to light. And so it's sort of a similar process to what Drupal goes through. I think we're a little bit younger and still working on getting a little bit better on it. But I guess the good news is that we haven't, in the 7 years that we've been around and the thousands of installs, we haven't had any significant security leaks, at least that we know about. So I think things are going pretty well. But I do think that, you know, if you're collecting sensitive personal information or billing information on an online contribution page, you've got to use SSL, and we support doing that and encourage doing that. And it's important to be thoughtful about where you're hosting the software. And so just like any web-based application, you want to make sure that you're hosting it in a place that has good security and backup practices and appropriate firewalls, and be thoughtful about who gets database logins and stuff like that. So, I mean, I think, you know, in general, Civi is running in a LAMP stack, which I think has a lot of eyeballs keeping an eye out for security issues, and constantly hardening and improving as vulnerabilities are discovered. So I think it's relatively good bet, but mm-hmm. Obviously, it depends on a particular instance to know how secure something is.
Right. Okay.
Let me mention one other thing that we don't, even though we do process online financial transactions, Civi does not store credit card information. And that's sort of a rule that we made early on. And it seems to be working fine, because basically the kinds of payment processors that we work with, either the credit card information is entered directly on the payment processor site for like PayPal Standard and Google Checkout and those kind of processors, or it may be collected, but it's collected via SSL, passed along, and then we get rid of it. So it's not stored in Civi databases.
Okay. I did have a couple of questions about some of these other functions, like the you mentioned it can do membership programs. Mm-hmm. And you also said that, like, it can give a site membership. So, you know, for example, a role has access to everything. Is it also then usable for, like, organization memberships? Like, if a golf club had a membership fee that's not necessarily directly related to the online features or functionality, is that something that would do?
That's a primary use case. A lot of organizations have membership programs, and they use Civi CRM for that. I mean, so typical example, International Mountain Biking Association, they have both a national membership and regional memberships, and they use Civi to manage those. The regions get revenue and income from their regional membership fees, and the national organization gets that revenue, and Civi allows them to both have self-service as well as back office sign-ups and renewals for the memberships, and you can offer premiums along with the memberships, you know, renew your membership today and get a great t-shirt, that kind of stuff. So yeah, a lot of different membership-based organizations, trade organizations, sporting clubs, as well as sort of normal nonprofits use that membership program, and it comes built in with a lot of admin configurability in terms of deciding what the membership terms are and whether it's fixed, just a calendar year type membership, or it's, you know, 3 or 6 or a year from when you sign up and then you renew. And there's also an auto renew capability, so folks can say, yeah, I'm signing up for membership today and I want it to auto renew every year until I tell it not to.
Okay, how does that work with you not storing the credit card information?
So that's something that we can support with specific payment processors, examples being Authorize.net, PayPal Pro, Google Checkout. In those cases, they basically, you tell them up front that you're setting up a subscription and this is the when it's supposed to recur. It's the same thing for recurring contribution. They've got the credit card information at that point, so they actually trigger the renewal with the credit card on their side, and then they use an API call into our database to let the local Civi CRM install know that a new payment has been received, and then we can renew the membership.
Okay, cool. And then one more question about that. You'd mentioned email blasts and SMS blasts, and I've actually had some clients ask for SMS functionality. And so how does that work? Like, is there a third party SMS service you have to use or what?
Yeah. So this is a new feature. It's actually being released with our, the release that's just hitting alpha right now, our 4.2 release. And it, I believe the initial implementation allows you to use Clickatel or one other third party provider that's supported. And otherwise it sort of works like our mail blast tool. So you figure out, you know, Civi allows you to segment constituents in your database in lots of different ways, but one of the main ways is a group. We have a concept of groups, which can act as mailing lists, or in this case SMS blast lists. Or you can also trigger these mass communications through just a search or a saved query, which we call smart groups. So you can have set up a smart group for everybody who lives in California and has contributed more than X dollars in the last year. and then those would be the recipients of a particular blast. I don't know a lot more about the SMS service other than the architecture is very similar to our email blast, and that I know that Clickatel third party offering is supported there.
Okay. So what other kinds of organizations can benefit from and can currently use Civi CRM besides not-for-profits?
So a lot of grassroots advocacy organizations use Civi CRM, and in fact, there's a couple of different umbrella organizations that are distributing sort of a branded version of Civi CRM to their smaller network of organizations. Progressive Technology Project is one such umbrella organization, and they have grassroots and neighborhood organizing groups all over the country. And they actually do walk lists where they engage folks in a particular neighborhood, a particular community, and they use Civi for that. And we're actually also getting ready to release the first version of a mobile interface for Civi CRM to support those kind of things out in the field. So that's one example. Increasingly, we're seeing government entities picking up Civi. One of the pioneers in that area, the New York State Senate, has been using Civi CRM for all their constituent interactions for the last year and a half. And they're probably one of our largest installers because they have Civi CRM installed in 62 different Senate offices and I think about 8 million records in there. And so the Senate offices use that to interact with constituents in their districts for everything ranging from pothole complaints to what's your attitude, you know, what do you think about this bill that's coming up? And they keep all that information in Civi CRM. And they heavily use that case management component, particularly for constituent issues that a particular Senate office is working on, complaints or other types of problems. Mm-hmm. So that's an example of a government entity. There's a couple of other agencies in New York that are also picking up on it, New York City, and I'm not remembering the names right now. Trade associations are becoming big fans of Civi CRM, so that's a little bit different from a traditional nonprofit, as well as professional associations. We're seeing some sections of schools. I know that there's a couple of different departments at UC Berkeley that are using it for various types of tracking of students and student activities, a lot of alumni organizations, and then clubs, sporting clubs, car clubs, yachting, sailing clubs, a bunch of different organizations like that use it, particularly for the membership functionality as well as for events.
Okay, so you mentioned a couple of the government agencies using it. Are there other maybe well-known organizations or examples you can think of who are currently using it?
Yeah, quite a few. Let's see, some I might mention. One that's I'm a big fan of, Electronic Frontier Foundation, is a big user and very active in our community, and they do basically advocacy for privacy rights on the internet globally, and they're a really, really great shop, great folks. Creative Commons, which has been in the lead of trying to open up copyright laws and practices in this country. This is a longtime Civi CRM user. The Wikimedia Foundation, which is the foundation behind Wikipedia, has been using Civi CRM for their fundraising for the last 4 or 5 years and raised many millions of dollars using Civi CRM. Let's see. I mentioned International Mountain Biking Association. Folks may be familiar with them. American Friends Service Committee has been using Civi CRM in some of their regions. I think those are some of the ones that I think maybe folks would have heard of, and probably forgetting some. A number of different United Nations agencies actually use Civi CRM, as well as the European Union Commission has been using Civi for some of its work. Very large relief nonprofits in Europe and the United States. Amnesty International's International Directorate uses Civi CRM for their fundraising and member tracking. Concern Worldwide, which is based in Ireland and does a lot of relief work in Haiti, Africa, and a number of other parts of the third world, uses Civi. That's a decent collection.
Okay, yeah, definitely.
But I guess one of the things that's to keep in mind is these are sort of larger organizations, larger installations that you might have heard of, but there are thousands of very small organizations who also are able to make use of Civi to help further their mission. And that's pretty important to us as a project. We want to make sure that this kind of tool is available to a lot of the startup and smaller organizations, which do really important work.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I asked on Twitter if anybody had any questions for you since I was going to be talking to you. And Droopleg on Twitter asked, Civi CRM seems to be on the periphery of the CRMs they support. And he wants to know, do Civi CRM developers contribute to the core of Drupal or WordPress or Joomla?
I would say in general, no. I know that we have reported bugs back, and I think maybe a couple of patches, but in general, the core team is pretty focused on the platform and making it better and adding functionality as people are requesting and sponsoring it. So we haven't been super engaged. But that said, our development community has grown a lot in the last, particularly in the last 3 years. And so there are a lot of folks who work with Civi CRM and work with Drupal and are active contributors to the Drupal code base and the Drupal community, as well as being involved in Civi. So there's a significant overlap. And in fact, in terms of our developer community, I would say that 70% plus are Drupal developers. So I think there is a lot of overlap and in interaction and synergy in that way.
Okay.
We're a much smaller community than the Drupal community, and for better or for worse, much less resourced. And a lot of that has to do with the sector that we work with, which is always under-resourced from a financial point of view. And that even affects the integrators and the developers who work for the nonprofit sector. Margins tend to be smaller, budgets are smaller. Developers who focus on the nonprofit sector tend to be values driven to some extent, and that also means that they're often not charging the rates that they might charge or be able to get if they're working for Sony, for example.
Right.
So there's definitely some constraints in that area.
Okay. Then he also asked, considering the new Drupal.org distribution hosting, are there any plans for a Civi CRM distribution?
Yeah, so this starter kit project, which I'm not too one of my colleagues, Don Lobo, has been working with another person in the Drupal community on this, so I'm not too familiar with it, but it seems like it's getting some traction as a distribution, and so I think there's some movement in that direction, but frankly, I'm not too up on it. It seems like there were some constraints about download size that we were dealing with, and I think we've crossed that bridge, and so I think that project is getting going. Distributions are something that's sort of coming up more in our community as well because of the wide range of types of organizations that use Civi, and so folks are beginning to pull together different distributions of Civi CRM that might be sort of pre-configured from a metadata point of view for a trade association or a church, which is a sector I didn't mention at all, but there's actually a lot of faith-based institutions that are using Civi CRM. Mm-hmm. And so that's something that's sort of popping up on our side. I don't know how that'll interact with the idea of a Drupal distribution hosting. Sort of related to that, though, since we mentioned hosting, there also are a growing number of folks out there who are offering SaaS-type Civi CRM offerings. So, where you can basically pay your $50 a month or whatever, and they will install, create your own instance of Civi CRM, your own instance of Drupal, give you a certain amount of support, and they handle the upgrades and they host it for you. They sort of one-stop shopping, turnkey type situation, which I think is really great that that's starting to happen, because otherwise, you know, for particularly for very small organizations, there's a certain complexity barrier to thinking about, okay, you know, where am I going to install my CMS, and I have to install Civi, and I have to think about hosting and backups and security and all that other stuff.
Right.
A lot of different moving parts still.
Okay. So people can check out the Civi CRM starter kit at drupal.org/project/CiviCRM_starter kit. And I'll include that in the show notes at modulsunraveled.com/podcast/24, I think. This is 24?
Yes.
Okay. Yep.
This is 24.
Okay. And then on the note of distributions, I was wondering if there was going to be something along the lines of an app that is not necessarily... Are you familiar with Drupal apps at all?
I'm not.
Okay. An app is basically just a wrapper that lets you configure an install process. It's like you kind of step through the process of installing it instead of just enabling it and then finding the configuration pages to make your settings. Do you know if there are any plans or what the hurdles would be to do something like that?
I think people are beginning to think along that lines, and there's a lot of several folks working with Drush integrations and then using Ager to sort of be able to do some pre-configuration stuff. So I think people are thinking along those lines. There are other folks who are also putting together images for cloud type implementations, but I think we're not quite there at the app level.
Okay.
I do think that would be very useful, and it would probably go well with the idea of a vertical based distribution, where the metadata and even the questions that are asked sort of in the process of configuring, because Civi, because it has all these different things that it can do, there are a lot of moving parts in there. And a lot of them are relevant, or some of them are relevant to this type of organization, not that type of organization. So sort of an app that also kept in mind the idea of a particular vertical. So this is an app for getting Civi running for a trade association. Does seem like that should be in our future.
Okay. Cool. All right, well, Dave, that's all I've got for you. So I think we're ready to wrap up, unless there's something else that you wanted to throw in.
I think the one thing for us is that it's been really important for us to be working on building a more active and more engaged community, and that's something that we see happening now. The project is moving more and more toward a sustainable place where the funding needed to keep the project infrastructure going is being provided by both integrators and end user organizations who are committed to and find the project useful. We have these Make It Happen campaigns that are basically dedicated fundraising for a particular feature, and those have been a primary force in driving the development direction over the last year and a half, and have allowed us to add some cool things like the new mobile interface and the SMS blasts. So long term, we want to see more of that happening. We want to look towards having the project be more and more sustainable without requiring foundation funding, and look forward to a lot of great interaction with folks in the Drupal community going forward.
Cool. Okay. I like to ask everybody a couple of questions at the end, just as kind of a wrap up. And the first one is there something that you're really excited about that you've noticed, something you're not necessarily working on, but that you think looks really cool?
In terms of in terms of what we're doing in our community, I'm really excited about. We're finally getting to the place where we're putting together an extensions directory that will allow people who build customizations and extensions to share them in a really nice, structured way, which is something obviously Drupal's had for a long time. So I'm really excited about that coming together and making it easier to make sure that developers out there who need to customize an extensive don't reinvent the wheel over and over and over
again. Yeah.
I guess that's one thing that's on my mind.
Okay, cool. And if people want to get a hold of you or find out more about what you're doing, where should they go?
Well, civicerm.org is probably the best central place to go. We've got a blog there, and I blog as well as a lot of other folks, both on the core team and other people in the community. And if you're just getting started with Civi and want to find out a little bit more about what it does and how it works, there's an online user guide that's directly linked from there, easy to find. And that's actually a cool example of our community. That's a pretty big guide slash book that was written in the course of three different book sprints, where we brought together a bunch of volunteers, folks in the community, to write what we think is really user-friendly documentation in a collaborative way. Basically, it was locked in a room for a week, and we spit out a book, and then we've had two subsequent sprints to update that. So I think that's a great place to come learn a little bit more about Civi. There's a demo site for Civi running in Drupal 7 that is a pretty easy place to come in and play around and see what the features are about. And then if you sort of want to see what's happening in terms of development activity, issue tracker is linked from civicerm.org, where you can get an idea of what the flow of enhancements, bugs, et cetera, are for the project. And then finally, we have a forum, online forum, which is also a great place to come and see what kind of conversations are going on, where people are getting stuck, where people are discovering new ways to do things, and talking about new features.
Cool. Are you guys on IRC or Twitter?
Yes. So there's an IRC channel, pretty active IRC channel on freenode.net. That's /civicerm. A number of us tweet under @civicerm on Twitter. I also tweet as @DGGreenberg.
Cool. All right, Dave, thanks for coming on the show and talking about this. I've already got a couple of upcoming projects that I'm probably going to be trying civicerm first to see if they work.
Cool. Well, it was great talking to you. Thanks for giving us some airtime, and hopefully we'll meet again.
Yeah.
All right. Take care.
Thanks. We'll talk to you later.